Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to another round of No Small Questions, everybody. I'm just here enjoying some delicious rolls. They are not cinnamon-flavored rolls. They are, in fact, question-flavored rolls. And I'm about to share them with you. And sharing these question-flavored rolls with me right now is the incredible dungeon master behind all of this, David Knight!
Hello. Oh my god! And, I'm proud. Oh my god!
Yeah, there, I'm currently I currently have us hooked up to a full. We are hooked up to No Small Roles Stadium. The nice. Fans are going wild right now. And also seated here at the rolls table with the pair of us is the incredible Grace Kelly Miller.
Oh, thank you! It's so good to be here. I'm enjoying these delicious question rolls.
Yes, thank you. And thank you so much to the denizens of the No Small Roles Patreon and I guess Instagram and also Discord for providing these questions, these question rolls for us. I'm going to go ahead and find, ooh, this one's already been marked. This one is from Ashley, and this is to be shared among both of you. Let me just slice this open. Thank you so much, Ashley. If you could spend the day as one of the NPCs, who would you pick and why? And we will start with you, David.
As one of the NPCs?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, it's going to have to be one of the Arcanists, because I would love to have some magic at my fingertips in real life. Oh, but which one? Because I feel like I don't really want to be Klain. He is a tad creepy. Zerevir is a little bit too dull for me. She's very focused on what she's doing. And most of the others that the players have met are evil.
I was so, about to say,
what about the one in the nice spoon contest?
Oh, Bello. Yeah, I'll be Bello Cupdown.
Yeah, Bello Cupdown.
Hey. Bello Cupdown. Yeah, he's nice. He's just chilling out. He's helping people doing spoons challenges. I'll be Bello Cupdown for the day. Plus, also, awesome. We don't know much about him, so I don't know what he does in his life.
That's true. This is a good opportunity for you to find out without having to write it yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Just go full immersive experience with it and
exactly.
Discover as I explore. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, Grace, for your half of the role, which of the NPCs would you like to be?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I should have been
for a single day.
I was thinking about it the whole time. For a single day, I think, do you know what? I think I'd quite like to be Iris. Because ooh. I just think it'd be quite nice, you know, you got your brewery back, you're getting involved with everything going on, and he's just, you know, he's just nice, and he's just, I'll just be there, you know, hub of the community, serving people drinks. It'd be a good time.
Yeah, just a pleasant, I think in both cases you have, in one case you have a very powerful person, in the other case you have just a regular old Joe, just living a happy old life, in both cases, just peaceful times.
He got all his brewery equipment back, it's happily ever after for Iris, right?
Yeah.
Right, David?
Yeah.
David, right?
Yeah.
The only times we will ever see Iris is when there are announcements in the paper about how happy they are, right, David?
Exactly, yeah. That's it.
Definitely
it made national news how happy Iris is being, and nothing disastrous is happening.
local baker, unacceptable levels of happy. So thank you so much for that role, that question role, Ashley. We are going to move on to Alice Correr's, or Correr's. Side note, correr is the Spanish word for to run. Thank you, Alice. This question role is for Grace. I'll slide this over to you.
Okay.
Which of your spinoff characters would you most like to hang out with? Would you most like to hang out with Gwen and the rest of the lads?
Ooh, okay. Well, Rey Maestany is a bit mardy, so I don't think she'd get on with people very well. She is a pain in the arse. So I'd probably say no to Rey. Who else have I got? I've got Spud and...
You have your character from the Dwayne Fabulosa.
Yeah,
of course I do. Triphany Fidd. Oh, yeah. Triphany's a special one, isn't she?
Yeah. I feel like her and Oren would get along really well.
I think they would, actually. Yeah. You want to get Triffid, Alfie, and Oren all together and just have them being... just nerding out together. I think that would be very fun. I can definitely see that. I'm not sure whether Triff would necessarily appeal to Gwendolyn as much. I think Spud is maybe going to be like more Gwendolyn's vibe, like, okay, kind of a bit rough and wants to spar and stuff. Mm-hmm. And also I love Spud and I want more Spud. I also am really excited about my upcoming spin-off character. But I think maybe he, I can let you know that he's called Gary. That's all I'll let you know. Gary maybe is a bit too old for Gwendolyn to want to hang out with him, maybe.
Oh.
But
Gwendolyn, Gwendolyn hangs out with Juna. So that how old is this guy?
He's definitely not even really actually old. I think I'm just being a dickhead. so I'm going to go with Spud. I think Spud's the one that
All right.
Gwen would like, yeah, and I think Spud is a bit of a stray, and I think they'd be taken in quite nicely by the gang. So I think they'd like Spud, hopefully.
If anything were to happen to Gwendolyn, would you bring Spud in as a?
Oh, don't even think about that, David.
Don't play that game. Yeah,
don't play that game. I can't. I don't think I could handle that.
I'm really, now I'm intrigued. I'm like, ooh, are there plans in place in case things go horribly wrong?
Maybe. There's a character from a home game that I would potentially take inspiration from, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think he would go well in this campaign, but...
Yeah. We'll just keep Gwendolyn alive.
Secrets. Please.
In the meantime. Yeah, okay.
That scares me so much.
I guess we didn't highlight it enough. We just got an exclusive reveal of your character name from the upcoming miniseries. Stay tuned for Gary, folks.
Yeah.
The elderly Gary.
The gruesome adventures of Gary.
The gruesome adventures of Gary.
Yes.
He's not that old, and I do apologize to anyone listening who's just like, that is not old.
He's like 31.
Yeah.
Our next question is from Chris Watts. Thank you so much for Chris Watts. Aww. For your question for both of you. This is a question roll that I'm once again dividing down the middle and sliding half to each of you. What are you reading at the moment? Have any literary characters ever influenced you in D&D? We'll start with you, Bibi David.
Oh, I feel like I'm reading. I've got a really bad habit of like reading bits of books all the time. So I'm reading Moon Over Soho, which is part of the Rivers of London series. It's the second one in I don't even know how many books there are in that. Which is lots of fun. It's kind of all about a. It's like a police procedural type books, but about a magician policeman. And so in this one, it's
like a paranormal police officer.
Yeah, or like in contemporary London. And basically at the moment, he's sort of hunting some kind of spirit or ghost or supernatural thing that is killing off jazz musicians by exploding their heads. I think that's right, if I'm remembering
Whoa.
It properly. Yeah.
Wow.
And it's very cool.
It the sounds
first
very
book
cool.
Is brilliant, Rivers of London. If you ever get the chance to read that, like, highly recommend. So I'm reading that. I'm reading a little bit of Lovecraft. I thought I'd download the old Necronomicon omnibus complete collection
right.
and just start dipping my toes into that. I'm going to be honest, I'm not enjoying Lovecraft all that much. I just read...
Racism?
I mean, that for a start. Like, I was like, oh, okay, he's just going there. Mountains of Madness, I just finished reading that, and it just reads a lot like just a documentary account of an expedition. And I'm like, I know this is going to get good, and this is going to get, like, people, like, this is like a staple, and by the time it got to the fun stuff, I was so bored. So I'm reading a tasty little draft of something called The Nightjar, which very privileged to be able to read a bit of that, and that is very exciting. I might take some of the ideas from that.
Can you share any details about what The Nightjar is about?
No. I won't go into it. It's fun. It's a fun. It's really, really well written. But yeah, no, it's a very fantasy written book. So it's really cool to be able to look at that and go, okay, actually, some of this makes more sense in our world. But yeah, anyway, so lots of things, lots of little bits. I want a bit of Sense and Sensibility at the moment.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. I guess in answer to the second question, you have literary characters have influenced you, but in small little bits and pieces.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, that they there might be like an off the cuff comment or something in the book or whatever that I'm reading that then spirals a whole load of thoughts that I can then bring in rather than necessarily lifting something verbatim from it.
Okay,
that's definitely where I lean more.
Well, Grace, same question. Well, same questions.
I mean, I have been rubbish at reading for quite a while. I've been slowly working my way through the Etymologicon, which is a kind of lovely little book that weaves its way through the origins of lots of words and how they've developed and stuff like that. It's a really nice little book. I have got The Legend of Kyoshi sat next to my bed waiting to be read because I do love a bit of the old Avatar and I need to read it. So it is.
Avatar Kyoshi. I just realized.
Yeah, Avatar Kyoshi. So I really do need to read it. And I've heard it is. Daryl wants to borrow it after. Yes. I need to read it. I've heard it's a really good read and really like good queer representation and stuff like that. So, you know, that's going to appeal. But I am also reading Sense and Sensibility because we have to, because David is doing the music and me and Daryl are in it and Vicky is producing. So that is definitely very much on my reading list. I would say, though, in the realms of Austen, it was Lydia Bennett that very much inspired my kind of starting origins of Gwendolyn. Mm-hmm. So I kind of wanted this kind of flighty, like, I didn't want her kind of Austen heroine, but not to actually be the heroine, because Lydia is not the heroine. She's just like a flighty, silly girl. And I wanted to see how that type of person might, you know, exist in this world. And, you know, 72 episodes later, starting to see.
Yeah, we're finally starting to see.
I maybe did pad her out a little bit beyond Lydia Bennett.
Yes. Lydia Bennett in orc form. Yeah. I actually have a little bit of a follow-up. If I cannot remember the name of it, but the Jane Austen themed expansion to 5e that they used for like a crown of a court of fae and flowers, and I think a lot of different actual plays have started to use recently. If you had known about that at the time, would you have ever tried to like implement anything from that? And I guess have you ever considered like a Gwendolyn side, like a prequel, maybe using that particular system?
I mean, I have certainly been having a think about it. I would love to, Jeremy, do the meeting of Gwendolyn and Dwayne. I'd love to play out that run up to the running away from the wedding. I think that could be a really interesting, like, even though we kind of know how it's going to end, it'd be interesting to see how it went. But, or just, you know, I think some sort of like Gwendolyn back in Pryden or running something in Carth would be really cool. And I think if I were going to go the more DM or GME route, that would be a good one for me to do. I just, as we were just thinking that, I was like, oh, we really need to edit the spin-off that I GM'd.
Yes.
We probably should.
That's when my friend just suddenly went, oh yeah, we've just talked about spin-offs. And I'm like, oh yeah, have a whole little adventure that we did. That was a familiar problem. There you go. Little teaser there for everybody. But yeah, I think that would be very cool. I think I'd like it. And I think especially about to immerse ourselves in Austin for the next couple of months, I think it would be silly not to.
Yeah, I think it very strongly in that vein. Yeah. I'd really like, if we were to do the Gwendolyn and Dwayne meeting and that run-up, almost have everybody be other characters.
Yeah.
Like the two of you included, and that like we're just seeing this romance like play out.
Yes.
From like the sidelines almost. Yeah.
And
yeah,
we're all telling like rumors about it and like
exactly.
Yeah, yes, that would be great.
That'd be really fun. That's a good idea, David.
And get to see you would have to play Gwendolyn and Dwayne, and we would just be watching.
Me trying to live both of those, yeah.
I'll just give you some bits of script to read out, Jeremy, and be like, right, this is Dwayne's part.
Yeah,
please do. I can't wait. On to our next question here. We have a question here from Ross Meikle. Thank you so much, Ross Meikle, rhymes with treacle, for your question. This is again for both of you, sliding that role to both of you. Which of the Fate Marked Five has been on the biggest character development journey?
Ooh. Well, that's a good question.
It is.
I'm thinking about it right now, and I think I have like two answers. Maybe three, but I have two answers in my head.
I mean,
but this question is not for me, so I'm just thinking about it.
Enkidu's been through a pretty big change.
Mm-hmm. But has he changed?
But has he, has his personality? Well, he has opened up a lot more, I'd say.
He has.
He's very much become more embedded in the party, and like reliant on them. And like, this is me just speaking from like DM outside chair perspective. He seems to consider everybody else in the party as much of a family as all of the voices that he has inside of him at this point.
I still don't believe it.
Just wait until the sequel where all of you are playing characters inside of Enkidu.
Oh yeah, that is another spin-off I'd love to be in. Like, I think it'd be great. Yeah. I want to listen to that one.
Gwendolyn's grown quite a lot.
Mm-hmm. That was going to be Gwendolyn and Enkidu were my two that I was thinking that seemed to have changed the most from their origins.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to agree with that. And I definitely, like, I mean, that was part of it, was a conscious decision. I wanted to create a character that could grow. What direction she was going to grow in, I didn't know. But I wanted to start with somebody who's a bit of a pain. And not the sort of person you'd expect to be on one of these adventures.
Well, more like, I think Gwendolyn came across as being the least experienced and most youthful early on, and therefore had to learn the most about the world and how it works, I think, compared to the other characters.
I think that's why Gwendolyn and Enkidu are such good foils for each other, because they are so different. Mm. And they have begrudgingly learned quite a lot from each other, which is, I think, probably why they have kind of changed the most out of the other characters. I feel like Juna has known who she is for a long time. Mm-hmm. She does, everyone's discovered things and stuff like that, but there's definitely people who've been more solid in who they are as a person. There's still so much more I want to see from Morin. Good luck on that.
And Gaius. Maybe one day we'll find out what subclass he is. the anticipation never ends.
To be fair, he's gone from being quite like lying a lot to not lying as much.
That's
at
true.
Least to you guys, yeah.
To us, yeah.
Yeah.
And he finally has his 1,000 gold.
He's finally got the money.
Oh, Grace, I have another question. This one's actually from me. I just realized it is from me, myself, and I. Have you or any of the cast ever considered multi-classing as part of this campaign? And if so, what class or subclass do you think might be appropriate for Gwendolyn?
So, I'm a bit scared to multi-class, but I do think I might like to do it in the future. And I think, because I'm such a narrative-driven being, that it would have to be one of the other party's classes that she would multi-class in.
Ooh.
So kind of, because she's been with them and she's learning from them. So I feel like she would learn something from the others and then that would become more of her. That just kind of makes sense. So yeah, a bit of artificer maybe, although she has been surrounded by artificers her whole life and that didn't really go in. I think she doesn't think of herself particularly magically gifted, obviously, but she likes to sing a little ditty. Mm. And also, I mean, Enkidu's got some good fighting skills going on there as well. He might have already multi-classed.
Maybe
there's a nod coming from the chat.
So, a little nod.
And Enkidu has multi-classed, so I think there's a bit of fighter in there, and I think potentially, you know, that appeals. Especially like with Kasula kind of being like, well, maybe the way of decorum isn't for you. I think it will make sense for Gwendolyn to multi-class at some point, but as to which class will be completely narrative driven and may be completely unuseful to me as a player.
Yeah, that makes sense. I was going to say, actually, Enkidu seems to be the one most likely, I was going to say to rub off on Gwendolyn, but then I thought about it and was like, he seems the most likely for Gwendolyn to take inspiration from just because of that martial aspect. I could imagine a scenario where like Gwendolyn becomes like, oh, I want to learn how to fight with weapons or augment, like you start using the unarmed strike stuff that they have for the fighter now. Or potentially I could see like in the event of her needing to like save her friends, I could absolutely see Gwendolyn making some kind of dark bargain in exchange for powers. And especially with like considering how good Enkidu is at fighting and how much Gwendolyn prizes that sort of thing. So,
yeah. And also like, you know, the opportunity to beat Enkidu at what he's good at.
Yes. Absolutely. Moving right along. We have a question from Pippa, who is in the Zoom call with us. Pippa, will you please show up and hand deliver your question roll to the cast?
What flavor is this one?
Oh, it's got salt flakes on the top and rosemary. It's an artisanal roll.
That's a question for a whole other day, isn't it? Flavors and rolls. My question.
What type of role are you? Sorry, Pippa.
My question is, congrats to you all, Abracalads, on making it halfway to 5 years of No Small Roles already. What were your expectations for this point when you first started the podcast? And what would you have liked to have happened by the 5-year mark? P.S. Will you ever try to return to Derominate House for Pippa and Lord Crumpet?
What are we thinking? Should we roll initiative or who's going to answer first? Let's go with Baby David.
Yeah, I just did some talking.
Yeah. what I'd like to happen by 5 years is to have like rounded out and finished this campaign and be starting the next one. Not saying I'm not loving this one. I'm absolutely loving this one. This is amazing. But like when we first started, I was like, okay, we'll do like a 15 episode story. And then if that's going on, well, I've got plans to take it from there. And then everyone was like, okay, yeah, so how much, like how long are we thinking? And I was like, oh, I reckon we can run this for about 5 years. So, you know, if we can get to 5 years, then huzzah, I did the whole story. If unfortunately everybody dies off before then slight problem and we might have to
I know that I think I speak for all the fans when we would love to see at least 5 years with these characters.
Yeah, I think we're gonna get it.
How about you, Gwen? Or, oh my goodness, Gwendolyn, I'm so sorry. How about you, Grace?
That is the problem when I choose characters that names begin with G. I ever since I started listening to The Adventure Zone, I wanted to make a D&D podcast. And I think so much of my thought at the start was about starting it and having this opportunity to play an epic game with my friends. Mm-hmm. I kind of didn't think how long we might end up doing it. I think because we started it during lockdown and everything was so unpredictable at the point, you just didn't know how long we'd be doing anything of anything. And so
yeah, I've been there.
Yeah. you're just like, well, let's do this thing because we've wanted to do it. Me and David had wanted to start this podcast for like, yeah, definitely at least a year, if not longer. This had been like our little like, oh yeah, when we make our podcast sort of thing. Yeah. And then when it's actually happening, it's just like, it's amazing. I love that we have listeners that, you know, actually care about it as much as we do. It like, it absolutely means the world to me. And I love that I get to play with this amazing group of people and that we've got this intricate world. And mm-hmm. I just want to keep playing. Mm. And I wish I could play more. I think what I would love is if in 5 years time, like, we have worked out how to play on a more regular basis, or like to be able to go, do you know what, like we're gonna block out a week and we're just gonna play for a week together whilst we're off in between doing whatever other jobs we're doing. But just to keep telling stories. Mm. I really love that.
Mm. Yeah, I guess I have one last question on that subject, which is for you, David. What do, if you were to be on, like, because you were saying you would hope that you would be about to be on to the next campaign. Do you think that you would want to set the next campaign in the same world, or would you want to try out a different setting?
Yeah, same world, I'd say, I think.
Okay.
Maybe a different area. I think it depends on how this story shakes out. I think, well, for a start, I mean, it's going to be really hard to say goodbye to any of these characters. So I feel like I almost don't want to go too far from them. Like, if there's always the chance that, you know, old Lady Gwendolyn can pop up. Like,
old Lady Gwendolyn, like, 31 years old, again.
Exactly.
Going by Grace's measurements.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think, like, yeah, the next story, the next campaign... Probably same world, very different area, very different problem.
Mm. So sort of a Critical Role approach then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How they like, yeah, they just like jump onto a different continent, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll yeah, do much the same. I've been on our Patreon, I've been teasing like my basic notes for each of the other regions of the world. So I'll find one in amongst all of those that people respond to, that I find a really cool story for, and then we'll just we'll dive in and I'll actually flesh them out properly instead of being a couple of paragraphs.
moving right along to the more episode focused questions, we got another one from Alice Corers or Corers. This one's for you, David.
Whoop.
Was there anything in the basement of Chargelt Hall that the Abracalads missed that you would have liked to have explored? And what happened to the other Archmage guy when it flooded?
Oh, good question. There actually wasn't really anything else in the basement. Mm. I kept that purposefully fairly empty because I knew there was going to be a lot of like lore drops. Basically, every room that they went into, I was like, and there's going to be another lore drop there. So,
yep.
the only thing that I do kind of, they clocked on, like, just this party, they're very smart people, that the obelisks with the bell jar in the middle was clearly going to do something. I just really wanted one of them to walk into that and end up in a bell jar. But I feel like they opened the door, went, that looks bad. Nope, not doing that. Closed the door again. I was like, okay. as for the flooding, I like to picture it that what was happening upstairs is that the Arcanists knew that there was an entrance, but were waiting on a sign off from the higher ups because, you know, you're in the boss's house. You don't just want to be barging through every door. So like, we know they're down there. But so there was a lot of like Arcanists waiting at that point, knowing where to go, but not having any permission to go down there. Mm. So then almost like as I like to picture almost as like Petra or spoilers from 72, Chargelt in Petra's body arrived. What?
Is that like, what that was? Point, what?
I like to imagine it's at that point as she's sort of like opened the hatch, as it were, that like just this burst of spray of water has like covered everybody and they've all had to evacuate. Yeah.
I love the idea that the water has just filled up that entire cavernous basement.
Yeah.
The whole lake going to be drained.
I'm hoping that it flows out all the way up through the top of the hall and like floods part of the city.
Yeah.
And it's just an empty lake.
That's a question. It's a question on like how, it's a question on like, at what sea level was that house, like, and that whole park? Like, was that lower than the lake nearby, or?
Oh, that's a good point.
Oh, I really hope Pip and Lord Crumpet are okay.
The horse is okay. The horses
Please,
are
David,
fine.
Don't kill any more
I'm
horses.
Not going to be blamed for killing those horses.
I have a question actually here for Grace. This one's for me. This one's a question from me. As an audience member, Grace, it felt like we had a huge amount of build-up to the Chargalt Hall mission. What kind of planning, if any, did the cast put in ahead of time? Did you all discuss what to do in various scenarios?
I don't think we did we? I think we just, what we did on mic, that was it. I think we might have just like clarified things and gone, okay, yeah, this is what we've decided we're doing. Okay, let's do this.
Mm.
But yeah, I think what you heard was what we did.
Valid. It's a valid way of going
definitely
through it.
Going forward and as our resources build up and stuff, I think it is probably about time we made a David Free WhatsApp group.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe. No. Yeah, Soz, because we can't let you hear our plans.
No, that's very true. It's very fair.
Yeah, as we get more powerful, there's more to think about and more that we can rely on from each other. So I think going forward, yeah. But that was kind of our first heist, like, really, that we, like, actually were.
Sorry, there is a very vocal cat in this room with me. It's being picked
up. That's because the cat agrees with me.
He fully does. Yeah. Like, it was the first heist you'd run, and it was great to listen to. And I think I feel like the seat of the pants approach works, especially for this crew, because like, the way that you all approach it is not like, we're a highly trained group of operatives working as expediently as possible. Like, it's not a SEAL Team 6 scenario. It's much more of like a Keystone Cops kind of thing. Which
we do have one person like that, which is Enkidu.
Yes.
Poor Enkidu. Enkidu's like, yeah, I'm used to being with my crew and doing things, and like we've done really good, like we've broken into places and we've planned operations, and now I'm with this lot. But then again, he's just gone, you know, like he just went off and did something real dumb, and then we're like, we're meant to be doing a heist together, how do we feel about it? So I think that kind of added to the prep time of like, okay, how do we feel about it? We're still gonna heist together, okay, let's heist.
let's go heist. Here's another question from me, and this one is for Baby David. Baby David, the level of detail that you put into every environment is very impressive, especially coming from another DM. Chargalt Hall heist was no different. In fact, it was, I would say, a highlight of the campaign in terms of the level of detail and planning. What is your thought process when creating those kinds of dungeon crawler-like environments? Because that really is, it was essentially a dungeon crawl taking place through a mansion. And what was your thought process when planning Chargalt Hall?
Oh, I mean, the first thought was panic, because it's always, oh, cool, I've set this fun thing, and now I've got to think up an entire mansion's worth of stuff, just in case. And I love this party, because they will go and explore everywhere if I haven't prepared something. Especially, they sniff it out. They know. They know the empty spots.
They can feel it.
So, I mean, the first thing I did was just search for large mansions and like found a map, which I still got somewhere, of this like three-story ballroom style American mansion. Like, it was
also
I found like the floor pattern for it, and then like took the shape, stripped out loads of rooms because I was like, okay, that's maybe too many rooms, and then just started like dropping in ideas for each of the different spots, and trying to figure out where to hide things, and like try to like create an interesting route toward those things. And yeah, just then once you kind of got like the plot points in a space, then it's all just like set decoration and like trying to figure out how it would actually run as an actual livable space.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's when I came up with things like, oh, okay, you know, the kitchens are downstairs and like the laundry rooms. And I was like, yeah, but it's very magical. So of course the laundry is just going to be doing itself and the food is just going to be making itself. So like that's when you get all of those like Beauty and the Beast style things. It's just like, oh, cool. Well, that makes sense in this environment because that's why there's no servants around. It's all just doing itself. There's no need for loads of people.
Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff really adds like a sense of like, I think what I wanted to highlight is like the fact that you actually looked into how a place like this would function. Cause I feel like what happens in a lot of dungeon design is there's no thought to practicality. It's just like, what are the cool rooms for them to go to?
Yeah.
Whereas I think adding like actual rooms, it's like, oh no, people live here and do stuff. And drive that home makes it feel more alive and more real, I think.
Yeah. I think there's one thing to have, to have the plot point in the space and like, you know, the MacGuffin that they need and all of that, like that's very important for narrative beats. But yeah, it does remove a layer of realism, I suppose, if you don't include any functional detail. But I find like that kind of set dressing and the functional detail really fun to go into.
Yeah.
Because that's when like a lot of the like more detailed oriented creativity can come. And yeah, that's when you could just like go searching and browsing Pinterest and like going, oh, that's a really cool picture. I wonder how that would work. And like building up images of each of these spaces in your head.
Mm. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think you should totally release that floor plan that you found on Patreon so folks can see where the planning started from.
Yeah, I'm going to drop that on right now, actually.
Mm. You're welcome, patrons. my next question is from Robin the Fairy Bard, and this is also for Baby David. Thank you, Robin, for your question. How much of the more recent developments have been planned from the start of this campaign? It's true, because we have had some major revelations that go way back. They're thinking things like the Hare and Havoc reveal and the other Four Lost Veil big lore drops.
Mm-hmm. All of them?
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Baby David, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Parent, yep, has always been a member of the Children of Havoc. That's why he approached the party in the first place. Because he spotted something in them and went, ooh, I could use that. That's
Havoc,
cool.
Us?
Oh.
You guys.
So they could have learned this. Could they have learned this early on?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Like if Juna had managed to read his mind.
Yeah, yeah. If there'd been a little bit more probing. What I found really interesting about Heron, especially in like that first meeting when they get to Vernock Rise, nobody really does any insight checks on him. Like, and this party love an insight check.
Mm-hmm. You really do.
And
it's the number one check
like,
they make. I've never.
Yeah. Constantly. and they just really didn't with Heron. It just gave me the freedom to just go, cool, yeah. You believe everything he says, great. Wow. And to be fair, he's not lied to them. He's not lied. He has, you know, been truthful. He's just not told them everything about what he's been doing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as for the other lore drops, like all of the founders and stuff like that, all of the stuff beneath Chargel Hall, a lot of that was planned out. Like some of the details, like specifically that it was all under Chargel Hall, for instance, that was fairly new, and in the planning of it, but that Chargel was doing what she was doing in the consortium. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that's been there from the beginning.
Okay. Well, that actually ties in with my next question, which is from me for you, Baby David. Was the plan always for the Faceless Footman to have ties to the Children of Havoc?
No. That's one of the few things it wasn't. So the Faceless Footman came about because I just really wanted, so the party were journeying toward the Wingthrops, and I was like, I just want like a small couple episode situation for them to be in. So here's like a town dealing with a problem. And then I thought, oh, shape-changing serial killer, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Drop that in there. And then the more I thought about it, like after the fact, I was like, it makes so much sense for them to be connected to this other group.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, only after the fact did they become a member of the Children of Havoc.
Oh. Well, speaking as a fan, thank you for making that connection, because it provided for some amazing, like, moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is nice to have, like, the occasional loose thread that's just there ready to be tied into something a little bit more important, just for those juicy moments.
Mm. I actually think that's how they wrote the show Breaking Bad a lot of the time. For anybody who's a fan of that, it often seems like they had everything planned out from the beginning. They only ever did that for season two of that show. Every other season, they would deliberately write themselves into corners and then try and find anything that they could pull from past episodes of the show to then tie in with this. So it ended up creating a world that felt planned out from the beginning. They did not have your level of planning, Baby David, where they're just fully building in incredible complex backstories and connections from the get-go. But yeah, I have one last question for you. This is from me for this section before we jump to a question from somebody who isn't me. Baby David, the heist seemed to walk a razor's edge throughout. Did you have any contingency plans for if the Abracalads were captured, killed, or had succeeded wildly beyond expectations? And can you share any of those plans, avoiding spoilers where possible?
Yeah. Ooh, okay. For it going, like, incredibly wrong, didn't really have a plan for that.
Mm. So, like, they all get captured, or they all get killed
captured or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, the thing with, like, even, like, a few episodes earlier where they'd all been arrested because of, you know, Gaius's wonderful summoning of a dragon in a governmental building. Like, the reaction to that came from that was just pure off the cuff, well, this is what would happen in that situation. Of course, you're in a in a very magical-based society. You do something big like that, the magical police are going to turn up.
Of course.
So I imagine that's probably how I would have reacted if they'd done something disastrously wrong. What was fun was the whole slug incident. Like, obviously, that was not in my plans anywhere. But if they'd let the Faceless Footman just be Petra and walk into the room, yeah, they would have gotten Petra to get the Arcanist down the stairs and they would have opened the door that way.
Oh.
So there wouldn't have been the whole fight. There wouldn't have been that situation. But because they did intervene and like try to like help the situation and like, you know, get the Faceless Footman out, it meant that they almost had no way back out.
Right. Yeah, I was in the moment I was thinking about like, maybe we should just let this happen because if the Faceless Footman knows what they're doing, maybe we should just capitalize on this.
Yeah, exactly that. So yeah, if they hadn't have gotten involved, then they might have been able to sneak out of the mansion again after getting what they needed, right?
Oh, instead of flooding it.
Instead of flooding it. But the other thing
wouldn't
is,
have been as fun.
Wouldn't have been as fun.
Slugs and floods, yay.
Yeah.
but the party have also got the Homeward door key. So, you know, in a mansion full of doors, they kind of always had an option. And at that point, they didn't even know that Heron was a member of the Children of Havoc. So they would have been like, yeah, safe place. Off we go.
Mm. Ooh, that would have been wild. That would have been a twist right there. I have next a question that I'm not going to read. It is once again going to be read by the incredible Pippa. Pippa, this is a question for you, Grace. Please hop in, Pippa, and please deliver this beautiful question roll to Grace.
Thank you, Jeremy. I will. Grace, it always makes my week when a No Small Talk episode drops in my Patreon feed and I can compare all the cast theories to my own. What is your favourite wild theory right now? And are there any extra ones being discussed at the moment that you can share? And then there's a sneaky little extra thing for David. David, how often do you have to practice your poker face before recording those chats?
His face is great during those chats. He doesn't have to do anything and instills fear and dread into us all.
It's surprising how just not reacting is sometimes the worst reaction to give someone.
It really is. Just like, but David, what do you... And he's just there, just like, okay. It's like, no. I mean, we've just recorded up to episode 79. So current... ones, I'm afraid I cannot share because major spoilers. I am in the process of editing a No Small Talk for episode 72. So that will make its way to the old Patreon. But like the first thing we discuss on that is that I had kind of guessed, well, I think all of us kind of guessed, but like I'd sent to both Vicky and Ben that I thought that Petra was going to try and, I was about to say body him. That is not
about to kill somebody.
She's going to body him. She's going to possess him. So I was really like, when that was happening, I was like, I actually got it right. but then of course I knew that, you know, we were writing Ben out for a little short period. So, yeah. Yeah.
He's had the wonderful joy of going on a 3-month tour around the Americas with Dragons and Mythical Beasts. So we were like, okay, well, Oren has to leave. Actually, that was really difficult to record, that last bit. Because everybody knew what was coming. And they were like, we know this episode is coming to an end, which means that Oren is somehow leaving. But how do we all, like, deal with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, like knowing the inevitable, that you know the hit is coming, and so you're like anticipating it, but you're like, how do we sell it and also like just accept that it's about to happen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird one to play, but we're all actors, so luckily it's within our arsenal, but it's also just sad because we're like, oh, our friend's not going to be here to play with us for a little while.
I think that's what was playing into it, really, is that it was like, we're kind of just saying goodbye to Ben for a little bit
at
the same time, so it's like, we don't want to say goodbye just yet, please, thanks.
Yeah, just can we just play a little bit longer, please, David, thank you.
Yeah.
I'd say probably the wild theory I'm enjoying the most at the moment is that actually the Children of Havoc are totally going to be like an important ally to us, even though at the moment we're like, oh, you lied to us, we hate you and you're horrible, but I feel like they're going to be important. That's my wild theory.
I subscribe to that theory. I join you in that theory. Grace,
yes, I think they're gonna be important.
Yes. I was totally just gonna ask a question. Oh yes, well, the question I was gonna ask was, if it's not too much of a spoiler, how many episodes is Ben planned to be away of the main series? You don't have to say, but I figured I would ask. As a journalist, feeling compelled to ask.
Well, as Grace has just said, we've recorded up to 79 at the very least, and Ben is still in America. So we can say that, but when he winds his way back in, not sure. That really comes down to Ben's schedule. He is coming back. This isn't like we've written Ben out. He's never coming back.
He better be.
You've hired a new actor to play Oren.
We need him. Yeah. So Oren and Ben obviously will be back in. It has been a really interesting dynamic without him.
There's like kind of been that kind of getting used to not having him about for a bit. And then adjusting, but then still being like, oh, but we miss him and there's these things and da da da. And then, then slowly getting into the groove of it. And then it's like, oh, okay, what's it? And how much is he going to have changed? Like, what's going to have been going on with him? I really want to find that out when he gets back to us, at least.
He's been reincarnated into a new form. Like, he comes back, he's an orc.
Oh my gosh. He's died several times. He's a soldier model.
Yes, exactly. There's like 30 or 40 episodes of like an entire campaign's worth recorded with just him.
Oh my god, yes please.
I have a question. This one is, again, from me. For Grace. Grace,
for me.
Do you ever think up specific plot points or events that you might like to see for Gwendolyn and like request them? I know that it's not like a super common thing in a lot of campaigns, but I have played with multiple players who like doing those kinds of things. For example, I had a player once who said, hey, I would really like it if my character was given the opportunity to betray the party at some point. And they just sort of floated that towards me and I was like, well, okay, and then work that into the narrative. Have you, as a player, ever considered doing something like that with Baby David? And if so, what requests maybe have you might possibly have made?
Have we done that, David?
Have you done that?
I mean, the sneaky thing I have done behind the party's back was when I was like, I'm going to send a sending to... I want Junior to send a sending to Dwayne. So that was a real surprise for the rest of the party when we heard your voice on there, Jeremy. Yeah. I was like, haha, sneaky, sneaky planning. I mean, now you've put the idea in my head, Jeremy.
Yeah.
And now I'm thinking, oh, yeah. What more shit can we put Gwendolyn in? I mean, there's certainly definitely things like from my backstory. I would like Gwendolyn to meet her mum at some point. I think that would be nice for her to, and I really did want for her to like bump into members of family. I think bumping into Kasula was quite a surprise, but it was so like, oh yeah, I want to bump into Kasula. That's great. But yeah, I think if there was anything that I really felt like would be really cool storytelling wise for Gwendolyn, I think I probably would ask David now that I've realised it's a possibility.
Oh, really?
I feel like everybody is quite open about saying like, oh, I want to talk about this at some point tonight. Or like, but it's less like plot points and more, I've been thinking about this in character and I really need to get this off my chest, or I really need to talk to this person. So like, can we just have a moment of that, you know? It's like the shopping list of emotional things that everybody needs to work through
exactly,
at any given point.
Yeah.
Like everybody's got one of those.
Yeah. Very often it's like, okay, I need to make sure I get to have a conversation with Enkidu at some point, or, oh, me and Juna need to work through this, and little moments. I think actually, yeah, maybe more with other players. It's some kind of like, oh yeah, or letting David know like, oh, I'm going to try,
In advance of this session, I'd like to have a little bit of a scene with this person, and I'd like to address.
I'm going to have a good half an hour chat with them. So if you don't mind,
I'm letting you know you don't have to talk.
I'm letting
for
you know you don't have to do anything for half an hour.
I'm letting you know I'm going to keep casting Scry, and I'd like you to play out these scenes. Get ready.
Do you know what? Vicky is very good at letting me know what she's going to scry on ahead of time, though.
Oh, that's
like,
nice.
Props to her. Props
is that
to
a reveal?
Her.
Well, no, because she
is
cast.
That a reveal?
Didn't she
no,
cast
she
Scry in the most recent episode?
72.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah,
I was like, had we leveled up at that point?
Yes. Yes, you did. Right at the beginning of the episode, in fact.
Yeah.
Okay, I will allow it.
I can't wait until we get to see whatever these requests that Grace ends up making. And that's to the rest of you, cast. go ahead and ask for specific plot points.
Have at it.
I can't wait for Daryl to be like, I'd like for at least one of the other characters to end up inside of my head permanently.
It's crowded
Ben
in there.
And be like, actually, I've decided I do want Orin to be the big bad evil.
The next question is from Captain Jam, and this is for David. How many more opera spoonities are there for our lads, or have they completely sporked it?
Sporked it.
Thank you, Captain Jam. That was a great question.
So they have, they've got more opportunities, I would say. The tournament isn't over just yet.
Okay.
But listen in.
Yes.
Listen in.
Captain Jam also has another question for you, Grace. What is the craziest thing you do for a spoon?
Oh, me personally, Grace Miller.
Yes, you. I think you specifically.
What do I do? A crazy thing I'd do for a spoon. I don't think I would, to be honest. I've been like, it's a spoon competition. I don't think I'd personally be as invested in it as Gwendolyn is.
You would have found another way to make the money.
Yeah, I'd just be like, you know what? Like, I'll just see if I can get a different gig. It's fine. Like, it's not that special a spoon. I don't know. I might enter a colouring competition.
Mm-hmm.
maybe, you know, makes... I don't think that's crazy. I don't know. I'm not that wild. You know, I'd create an entire cabaret drag burlesque act completely centered around spoons.
I had that exact thought when I first read this question.
Really?
I was like, yeah, you should do a spoon-based drag. Like, because you know how people will, like, can hang spoons on their noses. Like, you should have one of those where it's just, like, spoons everywhere and you just, like, you remove them over the course of the performance.
Oh, wow. They're all just balanced. They're not glued on or anything.
Yeah, no, it's actual.
Oh, wow.
It's
just pure balance.
It's just incredible balance. Years of practice.
Wow. Yeah. I'd have to probably get a lot of piercings for that. To help aid the routine.
Hook them on.
Yeah. You end up spending more money than you make.
Just for tea. I think Gwendolyn would like, if it was anything like, I think like really athletic or like any sort of kind of physical challenge, I think that would be like, she would push herself a lot further for that, just for the glory of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got to get that physical triumph in there.
Yeah.
I have a question now from Daryl. For you, Grace.
Oh.
If not for Dwayne coming into Gwendolyn's life, could you imagine her leaving home for a different sort of journey, assuming that she did not marry Colin in this scenario?
I think so, yes. I think she was looking for a way out for adventure. I think she was quite stuck in that little town. And even though she loved people around her, I think she was just craving to just go a bit further. And like, because her father would be off always like going to like, you know, working on business and stuff. And she knows her mother's off, and she's got like quite a romantic view of her mother, this kind of like, highway woman out there, you know, it's all very romanticized. And I think at some point she was just going to have to go off with what was in her imagination and be like, yes, I'm going to go. I want adventure in the great wide somewhere. That was her.
She turns into, she's Belle, confirmed for Belle. You heard it here first, folks. Actually, I can see it. She does have some strong Belle vibes there.
She does actually. Yeah. She likes reading. You wouldn't think it from the way I play it.
Sort of like Belle mixed with Mulan.
Yes. Oh my God, that is a badass combo, and I'm so here for it.
Yeah.
Yes. Mulan's my favorite.
Oh yeah, Mulan's the best.
My favorite Disney princess. She's just the best.
I have a question now from Ross Meikle, rhymes with treacle, for Baby David. Baby David, if you could join your own campaign and become an Abracalad as one of your NPCs, who would you choose and why?
Ooh.
Oh, that is a really good question.
Mm-hmm. This is a very interesting question. So basically a DMPC, if you were to stick in a DMPC, which of the questions would you, or which of the characters would you pick and why? It'd have to be somebody who wasn't overpowered, I presume.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, I can't really go, oh yeah, I'd love to be Erida. Let me just, oh no, though, speak of, do you know who I would be? I'd really like to have more of Coggian from the Wingthrob arc. You know, walking around in his slippers and in his bathrobe and that, tinkering and stuff. I know it slightly steps into Artificer Oren territory, so I'd have to build him very differently. But I'd be Coggian. I feel like he'd be a pretty cool chap.
Yeah.
And also he's got the fun thing of like, he doesn't really want to go on an adventure. So like, what would have forced him to be like carried along with the Abracalads?
Mm-hmm.
What is Oren's artificer subclass?
He is an artillerist. Is that what? Yeah, because he's got the little dragon.
Is he? Oh, yeah. Okay, I was gonna say, because each of the artificers. The nice thing about artificers is that each of the subclasses play drastically differently.
Yeah, they very much. Myra was an armorer, so. Yeah, even her next to Oren, it didn't quite feel... They felt like they'd made stuff together, but they hadn't, like... They weren't stepping on each other's toes, actually, too much.
Yeah.
I did make a cool little subclass called the Mechanist, which maybe fits Coggian, which is very much Big Hero 6, loads of little small robots that can do things, is, like, the theme and the vibe. It's up on the Patreon. Check it out.
Yeah. And if you're not on the Patreon, go join the Patreon and then check it out.
So it's like loads of small robots that you can either put into like Gundam style formation where they like form a mech suit around you,
or you
could just have like loads of like small floaty things that mean you can cast like touch spells slightly further off through them.
Yeah, sort of like a flock of familiars.
But like, yeah, exactly. So it's like which like formation you're putting these little robots into.
All right.
Yeah, it'd be Coggian. I feel like he'd be cool. He's a very chill vibe as well.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that the party doesn't really have is that kind of stoner vibe going on. Mm-hmm. I know Gwendolyn occasionally gets her frosting on, but...
And I think what you want in any good DMPC is that they are helpful, but do not try and tell the party what to do. And I feel like he would be like, yeah.
Coggian's never going to be in charge.
Exactly. He's here just to facilitate. And everybody's like, oh, I love having you here. And he's like, thanks, I love being here.
Yeah, it's all right. Here we go.
Now I really want Coggian to join us. Make it happen.
There we go. Thank you, Ross, for your question. Stay tuned for when Coggian joins the party in an arc or two. Our next question is from Robin the Fairy Bard. This one's for Grace. As a cabaret queen, what song from musical theater do you think would be best performed by each member of the party? I am on board for this question. This is a fantastic question.
And yeah. I feel like this needs to be further explored, like within the Discord. I think we need like a playlist for each character.
Yes.
But having seen this question earlier, I have come up with some ideas. I've got two options for each character.
Mm-hmm.
So with Guy, I think a kind of an obvious one is got to pick a pocket or two.
Yes.
Because, you know, he's got his roguey little snatchy ways. You got to pick a pocket or two. Boys. I think, oh my God, it would sound so good in that accent. It works in the accent. Well.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I want to see, yeah. And then my second choice for him is got to get a gimmick from Gypsy.
Oh, yeah.
Because he does have a gimmick. His mask is a gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, that I think he would totally lean into that because he's not quite got the skills in the music as, you know, they're growing.
Mm-hmm.
But so the more he can lean into gimmicky things, I think is probably useful for Guy. So those are my two for that. Talking about Enkidu having the kind of more strategic like brain of the party,
mm-hmm.
I think I would have to go with, I mean, I don't know if it really counts as musical theater, but Let's Get Down to Business from...
That's musical theater. I feel like Disney is like, yeah.
Disney is musical theater.
Yeah,
right?
Disney Renaissance absolutely is musical theater.
I mean, yeah, I want Daryl just to sing it as a little, we need to write a spoof parody.
Yes.
For Enkidu to be singing, because I just think that would be great. And maybe slightly Rogue, but, well, maybe not, if we're going with Disney. If you've seen the musical version of Buffy, the musical episode.
Oh, yes.
Buffy sings, Once More with Feeling.
Yeah, it's amazing. If you haven't seen it, oh my God. Like,
yeah, one of the best episodes of that show.
Absolutely. Yeah. I still, like, me and my sister we had it recorded on VHS and we used to sing every little song. I had a book where I had pencil written down all of the words to the lyrics. I was obsessed. Mm. And I think Enkidu could sing Give Me Something to Sing About because, you know, Buffy's been brought back from the dead. Enkidu's mm-hmm. been brought back from the dead. There's that chip on the shoulder, but like still fighting on. And I was just like, I feel like
a lot of the songs in that suit Enkidu. Like, I've got a theory. Mm-hmm. That is pure Enkidu as well. I've got a theory.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my God. It's just actually Enkidu the musical. We didn't realize.
I'm getting hyped for the cast album now. Like, Patreon stretch goal, everybody. Patreon stretch goal.
Parody musical theater songs. Let's do it. for Gwen, I've gone for Not Getting Married Today.
That was that was exactly what I thought. Like, as we're sitting here, yes, we'll compete with choreography where, like, whenever the opera singer pops out, Gwen's like punching her in the face, trying to get her to stop and stuff like that.
Yes,
the opera singer is definitely her sister as well.
She's punching her in the face for sure. And then obnoxious Colin as well.
Yes,
it'll be fun. But then, like, from the way that she's grown, I'm gonna like go for like I'm So Much Better Than Before from Legally Blonde the musical, because like, you know, she was doing it all for some guy, but actually now she's just, you know, doing it for herself, and she's, you know, feeling proud of herself, and I think that's her sort of journey, the way it's going at the moment. Oren, I'm not sure if these. Oren, I went for Where Is Love from Oliver. Because, I mean, as soon as I just started thinking of Oren as the little, like, little Oliver, I was just like, that kind of works, you know? Like, Guy is the He's artful cute. Dodger. Well, actually, no, maybe Enkidu's the artful dodger to his Oliver, you know, showing him the world. And yeah, I just like, you know, there's a sweetness. And also, I've gone for, I want to be where the people are from The Little Mermaid. Just because of that, I've got gadgets stuff. And gizmos aplenty. Isn't it the whole reason I've chosen that song.
Yeah. Oh, I have one, actually, a suggestion. We could do it. You could do it as a duet, No Matter Ooh. What, from Beauty and the Beast, the musical version of Beauty and the Beast, because that's more recent Belle's song. And you have you could have a duet between Oren and Eliwick, right? His mentor.
Yeah.
Where it's like you have the old elder inventor and the younger upstart adventurer person. Could be a cute little.
Oh, that's nice. Cute little number.
That fits.
I like that.
Yeah.
Finally, for Juna, I've gone The Rhythm of Life from Sweet Charity.
As a cult leader.
Yeah, I think if she could, like, you know, just but unintentional almost, and just be like, oh, well, you know, it's the rhythm of life.
The rhythm of life is a powerful beat.
Yeah, or just anything from Hair.
Oh
yeah, the soundtrack of Hair.
Yeah.
I love
just to feel like good hippie vibes for Juna, and just like. Yeah, I really enjoyed coming up with the songs for the characters, and I think I want to write loads of parodies now.
Yes,
but I think this is a discussion that should be continued in the Discord. And I think somebody who's good at making Spotify playlists, let's make character playlists.
Let's get on.
Let's do that. Not me though, but somebody else do it.
I'd like to throw out a suggestion for Enkidu, which is Confrontation from Jekyll and Hyde. Jekyll and Hyde are arguing over who has control of the body and are like battling for supremacy. I feel like that could really be interesting for Enkidu.
Could it be? Oh yeah, no, it's the same person. I was going to be like a duet with Alcibiades, but
yeah, that is. It's like in a musical, it's a duet between Jekyll and Hyde being sung by the same actor, and so he's jumping back and forth between personas, and it's like Jekyll trying to stave off Hyde from gaining control of the form, and Hyde is just like the big climax is where he's like, "I live inside you forever." It's like, that could be really cool.
Yeah.
There's a really great recording of David Hasselhoff playing that character.
It is great for reasons, perhaps.
It is. Stunning.
There is actually a very good recording of Anthony Warlow doing it. That dude has some poips. He got some poips. I'm gonna post that in the Discord. Anthony Warlow tears that song up, and I'm gonna post the Hasselhoff version. Oh
yes,
yes. Don't hassle the Hoff. I have one last question from Mike C for both of you. If No Small Roles ever became a movie, who would you want to play your characters?
I already know who I'd want to play Gwendolyn, and it's Vicky.
Ooh.
I think Vicky would be so good as Gwendolyn. And like she would be so badass with all the physical stuff as well. I don't know if Mike meant like, you know, famous actors, but Vicky will be one day. I just think Vicky would smash it.
Yes. I was going to say Gwendolyn Christie also, like especially a younger Gwendolyn Christie.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very Gwendolyn vibes.
David, you got any ideas?
Who would I cast in all of the things?
In the
pick one NPC who jumps out at you that you're like, perfect casting.
That is a great question.
If Vicky is off playing Gwendolyn, I would like to submit Judi Dench for the role of Juna.
Yes.
Yeah,
that would
she'd be brilliant
fab.
Juna.
Yeah.
I've got like, I feel like Casula, Penelope Cruz is what I have in my head.
Very cool.
And then for Prim, I mean, I know we haven't met her yet, but Jamila
Jamil? Jamila Al-Jamil, yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
That is absolutely who I imagine when I think of Prim. That is who she is.
For Clayne, I would like Brian Blessed to be involved.
Yes.
I would like him to be Clayne. And then, almost as a foil, I'd like Zerevir to be Indira Varma.
Ooh.
I really like Indira
Varma.
Yeah,
she's a really good actress.
I think she's a fantastic actress.
Yeah.
And she just, I think she just has that extra bit of poise. And her opposite, Brian Blessed.
Yes!
I feel like that'd be a fun little duo.
I would love to see that. Absolutely. This should also, I feel like, be a thread in the Discord, because there's a lot of, I can think of like actors that I'm like, oh yeah, these people would be great for each role. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, it appears that we are reaching the end of our time here. So before we close out this round of questioning, before we have finished our plate of question rolls, is there anything that anyone would like to plug?
Well, Sense and Sensibility.
Yes!
It's going to be running from the 10th of May to the 10th of June. We're traveling around the southwest of England. Come see me and Daryl on stage in a show together for the first time ever. We've never been on stage together before. Yeah, it's absolute madness.
Yes.
So we're very, I'm plugging that. Come see us. It's a short run. See us while you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, jump on that. Go and see the magic on stage.
And David, why didn't you plug our new miniseries coming
out? Our new miniseries. I was just about, I don't even think we've told the title to anyone.
I don't think we have. I've just been like a Fireheart four-parter.
Yeah, exactly that. So yeah, we are about to start. It'd be the next episode in your feed after this one. a horror-based miniseries called The Gruesome Adventures of Deacon Fireheart Buttons.
Ooh!
So we rejoin Deacon Fireheart Buttons on his journey northwards to find the warrior, but things do not go that well.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so we've got a four-part horror series coming out this month, which is very exciting. I'm just putting the final touches on the music, and it will be dropping on the Patreon feed very soon, and then onto our wider feed beyond that.
Oh, so
straight afterwards.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
It's going to be good. I'm excited.
It's really good.
Jeremy, we are honored to have you question master us today.
Thanks,
we know
Jeremy.
You have all the busy, wonderful things with two podcasts on the go now. Give us some plugs for what all the different wonderful things you're doing at the moment.
Yes. The main things that I've been doing that are ongoing are Three Black Halflings, a podcast that I'm on. It's a TTRPG podcast. In fact, both I and Jasper William Cartwright, who guested in the Dwayne Fabulosa miniseries, we are both two of the hosts. We are two of the titular halflings. We do interviews. We do DM and player tips. We talk about TTRPG news. In an upcoming episode, we talk about Minecraft for a while. All sorts of things. We also do actual play. I'm the resident GM for the show, and we have a current series that's coming out right now called Big Trouble in Little Menus that uses the Kids on Bikes system, which is really, really fun. We have that cast includes B. Dave Walters, includes Connie Chong, includes Margaret Crone. We also have Kelly Wright and Charlene Bayer. It is a fantastic cast, sort of a Stranger Things vibe, but set in Ohio instead of Indiana. And very fun time. And I also have a show called The Quantum Reactor, which is a sci-fi movie review podcast that I do with my buddy Andrew Coons. We just dropped an episode this week where we review Looper. We have upcoming episodes of The Fifth Element. I think AI, artificial intelligence, is one that we haven't released yet. We've done episodes on The Terminator. We did Everything Everywhere All at Once. We've done Moon. We've done Sunshine. Classics after classic in the chamber. And go check that out. You can follow Three Black Halflings on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, etc. At three, this is number three, Black Halflings. And you can check us out wherever pods are cast. And the Quantum Reaction you can find on Twitter at @QReactorShow and also wherever pods are cast. So please go check out both of those shows. They're very fun.
Yay.
And for anyone who's currently listening to this, I'm about to be in a one-shot in a day or two, an April 1st one-shot. I don't have a link to it, but I'm playing a character. It's going to be real fun. And I'm also going to be on RP Geeks D&D running, and I don't even know if this one's been really advertised yet, but I'm going to be guest GMing on RP Geeks, a fifth element themed sci-fi D&D one shot as well. So it's going to be
bringing all your fantastic worlds together there.
Yes. It's the fifth element, but in London instead of New York. So yeah, fun times. Fun times. And then just all sorts of other stuff coming up. So stay tuned. Go follow me on Twitter and you'll see announcements. You can follow me on Twitter at JeremyCobb1. It's Cobb with two B's and the number one. And that's all the plugs I got.
Those are brilliant plugs. To be fair, I think plugs. A lot of our listeners probably have come to us because of you, Jeremy.
Happy to funnel as many halflings towards you as possible.
We love them. We love them so much. And we love you as well. So thank you so much for coming and sitting in the QM seat tonight.
Yes.
It's been a pleasure.
What a comfy seat. Thank you for letting me sit here for a bit. I hope I get to do it again sometime.
Yes, please. We'd love to have you back.
We'll always have you back, Jeremy.
Oh, thank you. And thank you so much to everyone who submitted your questions. We hope you enjoyed the answers. And with that, I think there's nothing left to say, but anon for now.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.